We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Welcome to Butting Heads, a Rams Talk Real production presented by Prize Picks. Go to PrizePicks.com. Use the code RAMSTALK for a $100 deposit match.
How would you evaluate your season?
I think we ain't done yet.
You personally?
I think we ain't done yet.
Welcome to another episode of the Butting Heads podcast, part of Rams Talk Radio and the Blue Wire Podcast Network. I'm Steve Ribeiro here, as always, with Johnny Gomez. Johnny, another draft in the books. My prayers were answered on day three as a kicker fell from the sky and onto our laps. I think this is the third time we have talked about this draft so far together, and probably not the last, but how you feel, man? How you feel?
You know, this is probably going to be the topic for like the next 3 or 4 months until preseason. So, yeah, get used to it, guys. But I'm feeling great after seeing the Rams have a stellar draft. I was pretty happy with it. And then on top of that, the Lakers weren't swept for the second consecutive year. So, good all around.
Yeah, we're not doing any NBA talk on this podcast, unfortunately. I don't watch basketball anymore. Actually went to a Mets game on Sunday, and as I was like making plans, I was like, oh, that's during the Sixers game. And I was like, I shouldn't watch that game. And then I was glad I didn't. And I'm going to a Mets game again during game five, because I will do anything to avoid watching the Sixers. But this is not about the Sixers or the Lakers. This is about the Los Angeles Rams. Another draft in the books. Johnny, do you want to start with the draft as a whole, or should we go pick by pick and then talk about the draft as a whole later?
I would say pick by pick in this case. I think it's more fun that way.
All right, so let's do it. So if you listened to our couple of pods last week, we had real-time reaction to some of these picks on day one and two. I don't know. I haven't looked at the feed. Have we done a day three podcast yet? We have not. So this will be your first Rams talk about day three. Start pick 19. They did not trade down, nor did they trade up. They stayed at pick 19, which I think we are all pretty happy about. They select Jared Verse, edge rusher out of Florida State. If you weren't watching the draft live or just really haven't popped in on it that much, I don't think the 15th pick was the first defensive player taken in this draft, right? So that was Latu Latu out of UCLA, defensive end / edge rusher. He was the first one taken.
Yeah, so, Bruins.
Yeah, there you go. So as we were, you know, on the pod getting ready for this pick, it felt like the stars were kind of aligning with how offense heavy the first 14 picks were for a defensive needing team like the Rams. So it would have kind of been a bummer if they traded out of that pick. They didn't. They select Jared Verse, edge rusher out of Florida State. One of Johnny's guys. Johnny is ecstatic about it. I'm excited to hear him talk about it again. A little bit on Verse. He started his college career at Albany, played, I think, 2 years there before transferring to Florida State. Did not miss a beat. 9.5 sacks at Albany, 9 sacks at Florida State each year, 18 total. Also had 29.5 tackles for loss in his 2 years at Florida State. Was first team All-SEC both seasons at Florida State and second team in 2023. He's 23, but looking at this draft class, a lot of the prospects are older. Not that it's old, but like it is kind of old for prospects. And the Rams went after a lot of these guys who are on the older side. Braden Fisk is already 24 when we get to him in a minute. But because of the COVID rule, where players could just come back for a fifth year kind of willy-nilly, there's a lot of super seniors in this draft. I wouldn't put a lot of stock into age here. This, to me, position of need. Jared Verse will walk in the room, be a starter day one, no question about it. And arguably, you know, the best player available at this point in the draft. Johnny, I mean, I love this pick. Looking into Verse a little bit more today, getting ready for the podcast, I still love this pick. How are you still in the honeymoon phase with this pick as you were on Thursday night?
Oh, yeah, definitely. And I'm going to be in this honeymoon phase until basically the start of the season because, as we alluded to for basically since last year, really, the Rams needed another complimentary edge rusher and, you know, having that younger presence there to, you know, actually become more pass rushing heavy, something that was a big concern, especially after Aaron Donald left. That was one of not only the biggest concerns, but, you know, Steve, you mentioned age as a factor here, and it absolutely is a factor. You know, most people will try to avoid going after the older prospect because, well, you tend to want to keep the prospects younger so that they could play longer. But in the Rams' case, this is a very, very young, especially on the defensive side of the ball, a very, very young team. So having that kind of maturity, having that kind of mentality that they want to win and win now and win at a high level, this is exactly what Sean McVay was hoping for and Les Snead. So I think this was a W to get a guy like Jared Verse at 19th overall. Didn't have to trade up, didn't have to do anything, just stay put, and that's all that matters here.
Yeah, and I mean, if things go well, he will be a starter for 4 years. If they pick up the fifth-year option, they go really well. He's a Pro Bowler. He's got, you know, he's older and he's kind of, I would say, correct me if I'm wrong, one of the more polished guys compared to like the Chop Robinsons of the world. But I think, like you said, for the Rams are at, they already, like Byron Young is kind of more of a project guy. He's pretty ahead of schedule, but I like the idea of pairing him with a more, you know, Jared Verse has a lot of potential. He's not a finished product by any means, but a guy who like seems like he will step in day one and be a guy. And if he doesn't end up like developing to an all-pro level, it's really not the end of the world as long as he continues to be productive. You know, if this guy pans out to be like Chris Long, that's fucking great. I don't want to sound like I'm knocking the guy, but like I'm ecstatic about this. This was our number one position of need after they addressed edge or cornerback in free agency. This is where I wanted them to go with this pick. I was terrified they're gonna go like wide receiver or some shit, and they didn't. They made the smart pick. They didn't trade. They took the, what was he? He was a second edge rusher off the board, right? Third after Dallas Turner and Latu. So in today's league, you get the third best edge rusher in the draft if you're going by picks, and a guy who the Rams loved at 19 I'm thrilled about it, man. I could not be happier about this selection.
And to tell you the truth, Steve, I still hold. I've been saying this throughout the draft process. I think Verse is the best edge rusher in the class. Not to knock Turner or Latu for that matter. I think they're both going to develop into, you know, fine edge rushers, probably be quality guys. But I liked Verse's potential more than anything because of the fact that he had the production in college. He's one of the stronger prospects at edge rusher. And on top of that, this dude just has a nose for the football. And that's valuable. That's something that can't be taught. And something that I brought up this point. I'm glad you brought up Chop Robinson there, because I have a friend of mine that absolutely loved Chop Robinson and wanted the Rams to draft him so badly. And me personally, I didn't really I would have been okay with it, I guess. But my issue with Chop Robinson was this was a guy that has a notorious motor, which is great. That's fantastic. But at the same time, this was a guy that just simply did not have any sort of production at all. And that's a concern, because if you're not producing on a collegiate level, coming up to the NFL and being expected to finish, get your sacks, is going to be that much more challenging. So with Verse here, proving in college anyway, that he can get the job done, that's what I want. And I think that's what the Rams ultimately liked, because they did have the option to get Chop Robinson instead and ultimately decided to get Verse.
Yeah, I'm with you on I'll take Verse over Chop Robinson any day. I want the guy who produced. Upside is one thing. Verse still has upside. Like, it is a great pick. And we've talked about it. If you want more Verse talk, go check out the last couple of minutes of our day one pod. Really exciting. Can't wait to dig in more on him as the weeks go by. Pick two, the Rams trade up from 52 to 39, and they paid a premium for it. Move up 13 spots, select Braden Fisk, defensive lineman out of Florida State. Let's talk about the player first, then we'll talk about the trade. If you look at the NFL.com scouting report for Fisk, defensive tackle with below average mass and length who makes up for it with above average quickness and a constantly revving engine. Sounds like somebody I watched for a decade. So it's clear, you know, they're trying to chase after their Aaron Donald replacement here, trading up in a big way to get Braden Fisk, Jared Verse's teammate out of Florida State. You know, the guy's probably not going to be Aaron Donald. Nobody probably will be forever. But that's okay. Listen, he's another guy like Verse, spent a couple years at Western Michigan, had a great career there, transfers to Florida State for his super senior year, was a monster there last year, 9 tackles for loss, 6 sacks. He's also old. He's already 24. But you can look at this from a potential perspective where he spent 4 years in the MAC and then goes to Florida State and still produces. It is a little hard to talk about the player without talking about the trade. I think in a vacuum, I like Braden Fisk. He seems like a great addition to the team, but I'm sure you know more about him. Why don't you tell us about Fisk a little bit?
Okay, so in terms of Fisk as a player, this is a guy that is very similar in regards to the type of player that like a Kobe Turner or an Aaron Donald is like. Not saying he's Aaron Donald. Let's get that clear. What I'm saying is that he is kind of more a little bit on the undersized part, where he has very short arm length, but it doesn't seem to really matter too much for him because he makes up for that in technique and his motor as well, like Steve mentioned earlier. But one of the things that I absolutely love about this guy is this guy knows how to tackle. He knows how to get the job done, just like his buddy at Florida State, Jared Verse. And I think this is ultimately what brought him back, brought the Rams to trade up for him, is because of how well they played together. And if they can continue to play well together on the next level, along with Kobe Turner and Byron Young, this is going to be a really good defensive line. And yeah, that's what I'm looking most forward to all of this. Now, addressing the trade aspect of this.
And just for context, if you don't know the trade, they traded, the Rams had 52. They traded 52, I believe 155 in the fifth round, or something like that.
Yes.
And their second round pick next year to move up 13 spots to make this pick. So you can continue.
So that's like, if you were to keep track of the draft that the Rams had, which overall, which we'll get to, looks very stellar. But there is a minor hiccup, and this is one of them. Because the trade up to get Fisk is, it's a bit of a sore spot, because that's an awful lot to give up just to move up 13 spots. And if I'm being honest, if you're going to give up that much, you are much better off with trading up even higher and getting someone of even greater value. The Commanders selected Jerzon Newton earlier, who was a first-round talent, fell all the way to second round. And I don't know if they like Jerzon Newton or not. That's another thing. But from a value standpoint, Jerzon Newton was the better value. And if you're going to give up a second-round pick for next year as well, you may as well get the best value for an interior defensive lineman there. So I honestly can understand the criticism, but I can also understand the Rams' thought process and all of this. I think, in essence, they are trying to look for complementary players. Again, this is sort of a panic pick in a way that not only is it a panic pick by, you know, yes, they need to find an interior defensive lineman, but they also are trying to fill in a big gaping hole left behind a first ballot Hall of Famer in Aaron Donald.
Yeah.
That's not going to be an easy task. So finding that guy, finding their guy, may cost more in their eyes. And that's what it'll boil down to. If Fisk ends up developing and being a solid player, it won't matter. But it's got to be a really good player, or else this will be looked upon as one of the worst trades the Rams have done in a while.
Yeah, he's got to end up being like a, it doesn't need to be like a, technically a Pro Bowler, but like a Pro Bowl level guy to kind of justify this. Now, like, if the Rams win the Super Bowl next year and the pick is 64, all right, like, I guess it's not that bad. And obviously, like, yeah, he's great, but it's a tough one to gauge now, because like, the process doesn't feel, you know, there's a lot of move, like Jared Verse, if he doesn't work out, right process, right decision to go edge rusher at that pick, right decision to not trade back. I will stand by that if he ends up being one of the worst draft picks we've ever made. Take this audio, pull it if you need it. I didn't say this when Tutu Atwell got drafted. I will stand by that with Jared Verse. With Fisk, you know, there was a run on defensive tackles right before they traded up. Maybe they felt like they had to move this much just so they don't lose out on the last guy, Chris Jenkins and Mason Smith went a couple picks later, but like their guy. And if you were to believe the Rams, it seems like they were trying to trade up all second round until they actually successfully did. And maybe this was the package they had to move up to say 33 or 34. And it just ended up being 39 because teams kept rebuking them. I don't really think that would change totally how I feel about this move. But, I like Braden Fisk as a prospect. I don't know if he was worth this package, and I hope I'm wrong.
I agree. And that's really, like I said, one of the few hiccups in this draft. And really, the only other hiccup that I see isn't necessarily from a player we drafted. It's who we didn't draft, and we'll get to that later.
And are we getting to that next?
We might as well.
Well, if you're talking about the Rams' third-round pick at 83, we went Blake Corum, running back out of Michigan. Shockingly, when we heard this pick in the moment, I was pretty okay with it. I definitely haven't gotten more excited about it. I wouldn't say I've gotten a lot less excited, but seeing the totality of the draft and what we didn't take, which I guess we could talk about here too, I'm kind of indifferent on the decision to draft a running back here. And Corum, just as a prospect, he had 58 touchdowns in his career at Michigan, 45 over the last two seasons. I think, though, if NFL.com is to be believed, I think only 12 of those 45 were longer than 5 yards, which means that touchdown-wise, a lot of the time he's in the right place at the right time. He's still getting the ball in the end zone. So, you know, we're not going to knock for that. He also had 2,700 yards over those two seasons. So clearly he's a really good player. He's a downhill runner. He runs hard. He should translate into our system. You know, the touchdown bloat makes it like you could make the case for him that he's like kind of a system running back. I'm not going to. And also we have a pretty good system. So like plug and play seems fine. The thing is here, like you mentioned, there are other positions in need on the board, and your running back was an all pro last season and still has 2 years left on his contract. Even if they don't keep Kyren Williams, then you're, and assuming he's good for the next few years, you're still only getting 2 years of Corum as a starter. Now, it's the 83rd pick. You know, like, if we want to go cornerback here, the guys who were there when we took Braden Fisk are no longer here. And so it's not like you could have started it, grabbed a can't-miss other position of need here. Everyone here has flaws. Corum might have been the best player available because nobody's drafting running backs. And so I don't hate it. I certainly don't love it. I'm okay with it just because, and Derek made a good point on our pod, like the offense was such a disaster when Kyren was out. They could not move the ball. And as we talked about this offseason, the running back market was hotter than expected. And a lot of guys got gobbled up early and for actual paydays. And I think part of that was because people didn't like this draft. But getting the third running back in the entire draft and hope maybe they had him ranked higher, I'm not mad about it. I'm definitely not happy about it either. This is just like, this is a less need Sean McVay move to the T. They always do shit like this, draft skill players that they don't necessarily need. But in terms of like, like, we needed him more than we needed a guy like Tutu Atwell when we took him in the second round. So I'm okay with it. It's fine, I guess.
Yeah, and to tell you the truth, it's not an egregious pick at all. It's not the worst pick that the Rams could have done. It was a position of need of sorts. Again, depending on how much emphasis you wanted to put on the ground game, which to me, that's ultimately what will determine if this was a good move or not. If Sean McVay continues to do the Sean McVay thing and say that he's going to devote more time, more snaps to the ground game, then this is actually worth the while, because of course, one of the biggest concerns going forward in general is Kyren Williams being the bell cow. We could use him as a bell cow, certainly, but one of the things that you don't necessarily want to do is overuse him to the point where he has a shortened career. And at the rate the Rams were using him, that was a possibility. Now, getting a guy like Corum here does alleviate that some if Sean McVay actually uses him and actually runs the football. You know, as we know, Sean McVay loves airing the ball out, and I can understand why when you have a quarterback like Matthew Stafford, when you have receivers like Kupp and Puka, you know, it's really hard not to air the ball out. But now you have no excuse. You invested so much in your blockers, and to the point where these specific type of blockers are dedicated to the ground game. So getting Corum on paper makes it seem like the Rams are going to run the football more. Now, if they're going to do it, that's another question.
Yeah.
And like, that to me will determine whether or not this is a good pick.
This is truly the moment. Like, there's been so many times over the last couple of years, we've just been screaming at them to establish the run. And now you are building a team that is designed to run the football. You spend all that money on guard. You move Steve Avila, your highest pick last year, to center. You pay not like a huge premium to get a backup running back, but there were, you know, the guy we're going to talk about next is probably a starter in Cam Kitchens. It's a premium here for a backup running back, for a guy where if everything goes well with your starter, is maybe playing 25 to 30% of snaps every week. Maybe.
We'll see. We'll see. I think he certainly has that capability. When you find a back that's eerily similar to Kyren Williams, I think that is not only a good thing, but also a guy that might be able to challenge sometime. If they actually run the football, they should give the ball to the hotter hand, whether it be Williams, whether it be Corum. But again, big if. And that's going to determine whether or not this is a good pick or not.
If we count fullbacks, Johnny, then Les Snead has drafted a running back in every single draft he's been the GM except for 2016. That's so since 2012. Isaiah Pede, Zach Stacy, Daryl Richardson was also in the Isaiah Pede draft. Trey Mason, Todd Gurley takes a year off. Sam Rogers, John Kelly, Daryl Henderson, Cam Akers, Kyren Williams, Jake Funk. I skip Jake Funk. We go back to Jake Funk. Zach Evans. And now Blake Corum. Truly just wild.
You know what's kind of interesting, Steve? There will be some listeners. I don't know if they're younger or if we have younger listeners, I should say, that don't know what a fullback is.
Well, we play the Niners twice a year, so I would hope they do.
That's true. Yeah, that's true. Juszczyk is a pretty big name. All right, I'll give you that one.
The Sam Rogers pick was arguably the dumbest pick Lesson has ever made, because in the years that we have watched Sean McVay coach his team, there's no evidence that he would have ever considered really using a fullback. It was the brief Ben Skowronek period, right?
Yeah, Ben Skowronek. I mean,
did he?
Technically, there were times they used the tight end as a fullback from time to time.
Was it him that used Lance Kendricks as a fullback?
No, Johnny Munt.
Johnny Munt, yeah. Okay, yeah, Kendricks was before his time. Okay, we've devolved into insane throwback territory. Before we get to Cam Kitchens here, football season's over, but basketball, unfortunately, is heating up, and if you are a suffering fan like Johnny and I are during this playoffs, the best way to get some enjoyment out of your basketball is with Prize Picks, America's number one fantasy sports app, where you can turn your hoops knowledge into serious cash. Right now, you can win up to 100 times your money on Prize Picks with as little as 4 correct picks. You can turn $10 into $100 with NBA and NHL entries today on Prize Picks, America's number one fantasy sports app. I love Prize Picks because it's so much easier to comprehend than other daily fantasy sports apps. They give you some lines, more or less on stat lines. You just pick a couple, you put them together. That's your entry. If your entries hit, you win money. That's it. That's all you have to do. And if you download the app today and use the promo code RAMSTALK, you're going to get a first deposit match up to $100. That's RAMSTALK, RAMSTALK. Pick less, pick more. It's that easy. I'm going to get you some other ones of our sponsors here and then get back to the show.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Okay, 99, they pick Cameron Kitchens, a safety out of Miami. The man is a ball hawk, 11 takeaways at the U, 22 passes defended over the last two seasons, was a first-team All-American in 2022, did not repeat that success in 23, but he was first-team All-ACC, I believe, in both years. You mentioned this on the show Friday, Johnny. He slipped because he had a bad combine. His 40 time, it was... Do I have this right? 4.65, which is not fast, but like, this guy's good. Like, he passes the eye test, and I like, he will probably be a starter on day one. And at 99 in the competitive, you know, it's, I'm not saying he's going to be Ernest Jones, but I have similar sentiment to that pick where it's like, throw this guy back there and let's see what happens. You're investing in his safety. He's the only defensive back we picked in this draft, which I think we could talk about that a little later. But I, as we've gotten away from the draft, this pick has been the one that I've become, on day two, probably the pick I feel the best about. Now, is the silence there, Johnny? Because... you don't like the pick?
Oh, sorry. I didn't realize my mic was on mute. Great podcasting. So I'm going to try to retrain my thoughts there since I was talking with the mic off. But yeah, in terms of Kitchens, I have to say this was definitely one of the better value picks that the Rams had, other than Jared Verse, of course. But the fact that this guy fell all the way down to essentially the fourth round is nothing short of a miracle. You know, it's, this was a guy that, like I said, before the combine was widely regarded as the best safety in the draft. You know, there was a couple of guys that, you know, kind of, you know, was considered in the best safety, you know, guys like Tyler Newbin, who I believe was the first safety taken, if I'm not mistaken. But, you know, for a guy like Kitchens, who, again, like I said, was considered one of the better ones, to fall all the way down here simply because of the combine is kind of absurd and kind of shows you just how much value other teams do put stock into the combine. And like I said, the combine is something – to keep an eye on for sure, but there's a reason why Sean McVay never goes to the combine. He barely sends any scouts to the combine because he would rather study tape, and that's what you should do, in my opinion. You know, combine stats are great. Being a combine king is great, but we brought up a couple of prospects in recent years how you know, being a combine warrior has been great for, you know, building up your measurables, but I would much rather have the slowest guy on the field, maybe not the slowest guy on the field, but I'd much rather have somebody that is not going to win, you know, combine stats than somebody that can actually show up on the field and show me technique, show me education to the game. That's ultimately what I want, and that's ultimately what Kinchins is. And one of the things important about this pick in particular, I feel like the Rams in general just kind of gravitated away from finding good cover safeties. I think the last cover safety that the Rams really had was, what, LaMarcus Joyner?
Yeah,
because the Rams love their hard-hitting safeties, and they're great, don't get me wrong. You know, your John Johnstons of the world are great to have as your hard hitters. But one of the things that has been exposed recently is that cover safeties are a necessity. You know, they kind of tried to do that with Rush East, and it backfired completely. This is pretty much the opposite of what the Rams have been doing with safety. They went out and got themselves a true free safety in Kinchins, and evidence is this guy had 11 interceptions since 2022. That's all you need to know.
Yeah, I want the guys that fall, like, at this pick, you know, I don't want, in the first round, I don't want the guy that measures horribly at the combine. At 99, yeah, give me that fucking guy, dude. Like, I will happily take that guy at 99. I want the guy who's falling because he didn't measure up at a, you know, an event that I don't think matters nearly as much as people make it out to matter. I'm stoked about this pick. I'm really excited to have him. Do you think this means they won't bring back John Johnson or add another safety?
I think if they do bring back John Johnson, it might be like maybe during the middle of the season. I would find it very difficult to believe that they're going to bring in Johnson because I don't think they have a spot for him.
Well,
I really don't.
They definitely have a roster spot for him. Have you looked at the secondary?
I guess. Like, again, I wouldn't hate it if they went. I just hope that they don't have to resort to making him a starter because as much as I love John Johnson, I don't think he's a starter anymore.
I don't think he would come back and start, but I'd love to have him as depth. And, you know, I hope that they have just, like, hopefully the situation is they're like, hey, we got a $1.5 or whatever million-dollar minimum contract for you. It's yours if you want it. If not, go somewhere else. We'll see. We'll see.
But two Cams as starting safeties, Tulo. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, I meant to say that before. Cam and Cam. That's fun. I'm excited about to see where the new look secondary plays out. We don't pick the 154. We go with another edge rusher. This time it's Brennan Jackson out of Washington State. He had 8.5 sacks at Washington State last year. Pro Football Focus graded him as the 5th best defensive player in the Pac-12. Just reading his bio, you know, it seems like a high motor, high energy guy, average athletic traits, but like late 5th, if they were just throwing darts at edge rusher, yeah, man, give me the guy who loves fucking football and wants to go hit some quarterbacks. You know, especially at edge rusher, you're probably not finding your guy of the future here. You're chasing after rotational guys. I like what I've read so far on Jackson. I'm excited to dig more into him.
Yeah, Brennan Jackson is a fun player to have here. I was a bit surprised to see them go edge rusher again right here. Not disappointed, don't get me wrong. Having more, you know, more competition isn't necessarily a bad thing here. But it is interesting because now it kind of showcases the Rams' concern at quality depth behind, you know, our starters, which I mean, I guess you should always be concerned about that, but last season it was very obvious that
who was even our backup edge rusher last season. Like, I literally can't even remember after Hoyt, who was the next guy up?
Probably Nick Hampton or Keir Thomas.
I have no regrets here. This makes me like the pick even more.
Yeah, either Nick Hampton or Keir Thomas was basically your backups. O'Shawn Mathis really he got back. He was kind of injured for the first half of the season and was kind of playing catch up towards the latter. But it's a lot of guys that the Rams drafted last season that you have to wonder if they're going to make the roster or not with the addition of a guy like Brennan Jackson, who's basically going to be a rotational piece, situational pass rusher, which is where he shines. You know, that's what you want. Can see him in blitz packages. I think Don Shula is going to have fun with him.
Yeah, if the core of our, you know, maybe Mathis or Hampton's improves a little bit, but like if Jackson is a nice rotational piece and he can be the other backup next to Michael Hoyt, who I'm really excited to see in a reserve role, and more of a situational player versus a 90% snap count guy. I feel a lot better about this edge rushing group than I did before the draft. That's for damn sure.
For sure.
Round six, pick 196. We take Tyler Davis, a defensive end out of Clemson. Now, Johnny, I'm going to be honest with you. I put the notes I took on Brennan Jackson in the section of my sheet for Tyler Davis. So I have no research on this guy. I'm sorry, listeners. I have nothing to say. This was truly a disaster class in podcast prep by me. I just noticed that as we went to talk about Brennan Jackson. So please tell me about Tyler Davis, who was, you know, the second another defensive lineman as well. So they doubled down on both edge rusher and defensive lineman here.
Yes, that is correct. Another interior defensive lineman, and this is essentially the Rams' attempt to upgrade the reserve roles for the interior defensive lineman. And honestly, it's something Steve and I have talked about for really years, because the Rams have kind of made do with basically undrafted free agents and, you know, traveling or you know, journeymen. And that's okay. That's fine, I guess. But we were able to get away with it because Aaron Donald was Aaron Donald. Now that Aaron Donald is gone, you kind of be like, oh, well, we probably should get more quality depth. And this is essentially what Davis is being brought in to do. Now, that's not going to mean that he's going to contribute immediately. But one of the things to love about this guy is he was really good, really effective against the run, which is important in a division that has players like Christian McCaffrey in it, you know? So definitely a guy that may not show up a lot in the stats, but you'll appreciate him, appreciate to have him here. A true nose tackle, someone that maybe eventually replaces, you know, our nose tackle in Brown.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll see. Because I think Brown's in a contract year anyways, so I don't mind getting another guy in here. See if we could shore that role twice in this draft class. I don't mind throwing the dart. Now, here's the moment that everybody has been waiting for. The moment where all our lives changed at 209. A kicker goes at 203, and the Rams go, all right, kickers are flying off the board. It's time at 209, second kicker taken in the draft. They go Joshua Cardy out of Stanford. Now, I got stats on this guy, Johnny. I did my research here. Last season, he went 23 of 27 overall on field goals, including 19 of 20 from within 50 yards. So that's still 4 of 7 from 50 yards or more, which is pretty good. He showed some range. He showed he can have a boot which is great. There's plenty of college kickers who can't kick from over 50 yard. 2022, he didn't miss a single field goal. And so the last two seasons, we're talking about 91.1% accuracy in those two seasons. His first year was iffy, but like it seems like he figured it out. On extra points over the course of 3 years at Stanford, 72 of 73. Now, I literally have purged the name of the kicker in between Brett Maher and Brett Maher. Can you remind me who that was last year?
Who was the kicker that was fucking terrible? Cannot.
Was it Haversick?
Yes, Lucas Haversick.
So I remember when they signed Lucas Haversick and like we looked at his stats, they were like bad. Like they were not impressive. He went 34 or 53 in his career in college on field goals. And I remember when we dropped Maher and signed him, Maher, you know, I'm not going to act like he didn't deserve to get cut, but it didn't feel like we were upgrading. And to read Joshua Cardi's stats and be like, this guy seems like a great fucking kicker. Even if it doesn't work out, the process is right here. You could argue this was their biggest need, at least after edge rusher. You could argue this was the position they needed to address the most in this draft. This was on my wish list entering the draft of things I needed them to see, things I needed them to do, and they did it. They got a kicker. I'm so excited to have him. Don't even have competition for him. Give this guy the job. The resume is there. If there are some growing pains in year one, I would still give him the benefit of the doubt because, like, the numbers are there. Like, this guy seems like he can kick a football.
Did the Rams re-sign Maher?
No, they have. They brought back whoever the Tanner Brown is. That the name of the kicker?
Oh, that was okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I couldn't remember. I knew that they brought back one kicker.
Yeah, I don't think.
But let's face it. He's not going to be Cardi.
No, God, I hope not.
So, I was actually impressed when the Rams drafted him because, quite frankly, when I saw some of the kickers going, I'm like, I assumed that Cardi was already taken because I was seeing some of the kickers starting to go. And then I was like, oh, I wonder who got him. And then I see the Rams pick and getting Cardi. And I was like, holy crap, we got him?
Yeah.
Keep in mind that, at least in my opinion, I thought he was the best kicker in the class.
Yeah.
You know, well, I'm not even...
Will Riker out
saying
of
this. I'm not saying this just to be biased here.
No, yeah. And I looked at Will Riker was the first kicker drafted, and like I looked at his stats, man, and I'm thrilled by getting Cardi. And I'm glad like there were three kickers drafted within like 10 picks of each other, and Cardi was the middle one. Cam Little went to the Jags a little bit later, but like I'm glad that they saw a kicker got drafted and drafted a kicker with their next pick. Like, maybe they liked both of these guys and they were like, we're going to wait until somebody budges and takes a kicker and then we're taking one. Whatever they did, like, I think they took a kicker at the right time. Like you said, like, Cardi seems like a real kicker prospect. Arguably the best in the draft. He was the second kicker taken. So, yeah, right time, right position, A-plus pick. I'm not even saying that to, like, continue my bit about kickers. Like, this is genuinely by far my favorite day three pick. Like, not even close.
And he also has a long of 61, so can definitely kick it from long distance as well.
He can kick. Like, the resume's there. This is great. Day one starter. I'm thrilled. I'm so excited about it. He seemed really excited that the Rams drafted him. He's going to stay in California. Great stuff. A couple picks later, they finally, at 213 in the sixth round, go wide receiver. They take Jordan Whittington out of Texas. He's really, correct me if I'm wrong, listeners, a big prospect coming out of high school, suffered a lot of injuries in college. Ultimately, when he was healthy, he never really jumped out of the building in the Texas wide receiver room. It was a deep wide receiver room. The numbers there, if you look at his college stats, they're not impressive. I think he had like 600 yards last season. He only had 5 touchdowns in his career. As a guy who projects as like a big-bodied guy, it's not great. But when you really dig into his intangibles and everything, he's big. He plays big. He's had success as a run blocker. Shakes out like he could be a special teamer. To me, it's going to be funny saying this, Ben Skowronek's in a contract year. Like, when I said that Puka felt like the Robert Woods replacement last year, obviously he was that and then some. This kind of just feels like they're chasing the Ben Skowronek replacement, which is a funny thing to draft, and I'm not sure I love it, but, like, it's a late sixth round. They're going to draft a receiver. Might be some untapped potential here because there was a lot of players in the room at Texas.
Yeah, and I think that's part of the reason why he just never really had much of an opportunity to, you know, prove himself that much, because when you're talking about an offense like Texas, who had a very underrated offense for whatever reason, always gets overlooked by a lot of people. But when you're talking about an offense that had, you know, Xavier Worthy, Adonai Mitchell, Jatavion Sanders, Jonathan Brooks, even as their running back, it's kind of hard to notice with all of that. And as Steve mentioned, Whittington just had a lot of injuries that he fought through. I would say a lot of his collegiate career was very unfortunate in that matter. But there is maybe, you know, some potential there, especially as that big body presence. And I think that's kind of something that's missing for the Rams at the moment. So I don't know if you can sit here and say that this is a guy that's going to produce, or at least produce right away. But if he can, you know, I don't see why you wouldn't want to take a risk on him. Because, again, what are you risking exactly? A late sixth-round pick. So,
yeah.
If nothing else, special teams.
And like you mentioned, man, they had 3 wide receivers, 2 running backs, and a tight end drafted out of Texas. So, like, that was clearly a very deep and talented room across the board at skill positions. And, look, yeah, it's the late sixth round. At this point in the draft, unless you're getting the best kicker in the draft, you're just kind of throwing darts, hoping one of them hits a bullseye. Yeah, this is a fine dart to throw. I would have been surprised if I wouldn't have been mad if they exited the draft with no receivers, but it would have been pretty surprising. And I'm not mad that we didn't get one until 2:13. It kind of makes me happy. I was really scared they were going to do it sooner. There's so many needs. Yeah, we'll see. We'll see how Cup is this year, and we'll deal with it later. 217, they draft Bo Leimer, or Leimer, I don't know, offensive lineman out of Arkansas. Just briefly looking at his resume, you know, I didn't put too much thought into the last few guys, I'm going to be honest, guys. But he played as a junior, started a lot of games at guard, as a senior, started a lot of games at center. So, I mean, if you've been paying attention, this is the kind of lineman they love drafting. Versatile, plays both position, seems like he'll slot in as a backup center immediately, unless he has a disastrous camp.
Oh, and on top of that, I mean, now that we have Steve Avila shifted over to center, we don't really have a backup center. In fact, the Rams haven't really had backup centers for a long time. So it would be kind of nice to have a true backup center now, with the capability of playing guard. He's a pretty big guy. So I actually do like the selection, because one of the things I've always been nervous about is center position. It's kind of worked out for the Rams in the end, because we've kind of shifted over players, but now having that true center there, I think is a solid pickup here. And hopefully he develops into something else, you know. If nothing else, he can learn a lot from our current linemen.
Yeah. Yeah, I like the decision. We'll wrap up the positional stuff in a minute. The last pick of the draft was KT Leviston, an offensive lineman out of Kansas State. I think he played some left tackle in college. Was he another guy that moved around? I honestly don't. I looked up his page for like 1 minute.
He was primarily a tackle.
So, yeah. So, another body to throw at left tackle. Why not? It's the fourth to last pick in the draft. I'm not going to sit here and advocate they should have done something different. So...
No. I mean, if they see something in him, why not take a shot? Why not?
Yeah. So, that's the totality of this draft. I think... let's talk about what they didn't pick. Because, you know, I think I would we don't need to elaborate. What would be your grade for this draft? I would say A-, B+, maybe somewhere in that range.
I would give it an A-.
Yeah.
And I can understand why you would give it a B+ because of the trade. For Braden Fix, but I have to say, even with the trade, as absurd as the trade was, at least I could see the thought process behind it,
yeah.
And it makes sense for the player they wanted. So, for that reason, I'll give it an A-.
As long as they are good next year, and he ends up being a good player, that trade is fine. If one of the two is not true, it's a little tough to swallow. And if both are not true and the pick ends up being like top 40 and he's bad, like that's a fucking disaster. But it's the second round. You're trading a second round pick. That's not going to tank your franchise. Even if it doesn't work out, I'm not going to nobody should be like huffing and puffing from the mountaintops that this is a disaster. Even if you hate it, it's a second round pick. It's a second round pick. They'll be fine. So the big thing, no cornerbacks and no inside linebackers, the entire draft. What do we just go through 11 players, no cornerbacks, no inside linebackers. How do you feel about it?
Cornerback is what makes me most concerned because as we've talked about many times, cornerback is far from a solidified position, and they went through this draft process as if it was fine. There's no concerns. Now, don't get me wrong, is it a little bit better than it was last season? Yes, I can agree to that. Darius Williams, I'll say that. But, you know, Darius Williams comes in, he's an older guy, but still plays at a high level. He played very well in Jacksonville. That's great. Tre'Davious White is looking to, you know, go back to his old self. Hopefully he can keep the injuries to a minimum, if not at, you know, no injuries at all. But it's behind these guys that's a big concern. You know, we truly do not have a true nickel corner. We're probably going to have to ask Quentin Lake to be our nickel, which is fine, I guess, but I don't know. I would have liked to have seen them at least go after a nickel corner. And Kobe Durant, I guess we can see him try out for the nickel spot as well. we will see about Hodges Tomlinson. The fact that they didn't use him at all last year is a bit concerning, but, you know, cornerback should have been addressed in my opinion. And yeah, it's just stuff like that, that just makes me a little bit nervous because even if, you know, Tre'Davious White and Darius Williams pan out next year, you theoretically only have Williams under contract. If White pans out and continues to play at a high level, he's not going to come back unless the Rams pay him a premium. So either way, you're going to be looking for a cornerback next year. And that's why it would have been nice if they invested a little bit there.
Yeah. So I'm like, looking at the totality of the draft, I'm actually not that mad about the cornerback situation. I think, like, the move, you know, there were so many good cornerbacks available when they took Braden Fisk, and I feel like we thought they were probably trading up to get a cornerback, just because I think there were four cornerbacks picked after Fisk. But, like, looking at the totality of their offseason, they prioritized cornerback in free agency, and they prioritized the pass rush and the defensive line in the draft. And once you get past day two, and you get your safety at the end of day two, your next pick's in, like, the 150s. The cornerback's there, you know. They're not moving the needle. And while I don't think Kobe Durant or Darian Kendrick or Trey Tomlinson will turn out to anything, as the backups in the room, I guess, see what happens. I don't love it. I would have rather they added one, but I'm a lot more mad about inside linebacker because Kobe Durant was a draft pick. Darian Kendrick was a draft pick. Trey Tomlinson was a draft pick. You're giving those guys another chance to develop as backups and see what happens. Ernest Jones is the only inside linebacker on the team that was a fucking draft pick, period. And the other guys in the room, Christian Roseboom, bad. Troy Reader, bad. Jay Cummel, bad. Like, for all the shit we've talked about, like Kobe Durant and Darian Kendrick, they're so much better than those guys behind Ernest Jones, who is in a contract year, and to just, like, not even throw a dart in the end of the draft, like, in the sixth round where you made four picks and you drafted another defensive end and a wide receiver and an offensive lineman. Like, I don't hate these picks in a vacuum, but, like, I just wish they threw a dart at an inside linebacker, man, because Roseboom is so bad, and he's going to, like, play. And I just don't understand why they continue to do this.
This is where I get a little concerned with the Blake Corum pick.
Yeah.
Because, in my opinion, yeah, there was quite a few guys that the Rams could have picked right there at that spot at pick 83. Personally, I liked Peyton Wilson a lot. I know a lot of people were concerned about his knees, and that's ultimately why he ended up falling so low. Okay, so you don't want to get Peyton Wilson because of his knees. Cedric Gray is another guy that you could have taken a look at here. I don't know. Like, the lack of, you know, emphasis on that position is – something that just kind of baffles me. It always has and always will, but somehow they make it work, I guess. But one thing you do have to realize is that next year is a contract. The contract expires for Ernest Jones. So if we don't bring him back, this becomes an even bigger issue for the Rams moving forward. I just think that as much as I like Blake Corum and I think he's going to be a great pick for the Rams, I also think that this could have been spent on either cornerback or inside linebacker here. Yeah, time will tell just how important that would have been for the Rams.
Yeah, like the Corum pick feels a little worse when you look at the draft and you don't come away with either of those positions. Two positions that I don't think cornerback is a hole right now. I don't think you're giving Quentin Lake enough credit there. He was pretty good as a nickel corner. But I would have liked to add someone. And I think, like, I don't think anyone signed Akello Witherspoon, right? Like, I'm not going to be mad if they bring him back just because, you know, let's just throw some vets out there. And I don't think the young guys on this team, you know, have proven anything. And I think we love Trey Tomlinson when they drafted him last year. It's hard to believe in him when the guys playing ahead of him were so bad and they wouldn't even put him on the field. Like, that's where we're at with Trey. Hopefully he shows something. On the positive, no quarterback, which is great. I'm very happy about. And I'm pretty happy that they addressed other needs instead of receiver. I think I am happier at 83. Like, I'd rather go Corum than a receiver. Because a lot of receivers had gone by that point. And just, yeah. Thank God I didn't take Spencer Rattler. We're good. Two quarterback later.
Yeah. So, definitely glad that they didn't go quarterback at all.
Yeah. Thoughts on, are you okay that they didn't really address the offensive line? I'm fine with it.
You know, I would have been okay if the Rams went after a tackle, if they found some value there in round three, particularly at the Corum spot. But, you know, looking through the draft class, I feel like at 83, they shouldn't have reached for anyone there. A lot of the top tackles that I feel like could potentially replace Alaric Jackson were long gone. So, I was okay ultimately with them not taking a tackle at that point. If they were going to take them, they should have waited until pick 52. But obviously they're content with Alaric Jackson, or else they would have taken one.
Yeah. And just like to wrap it up too, I think like when we look back and evaluate drafts, there's like, I don't mind when players whiff when the process around the pick feels right. And I think this is why we had come back and still come back to the 2-2 Atwell pick so many times, is because you have some needs. It's the 57th pick. And you draft a wide receiver who isn't a really like jump off the page prospect and isn't a position you need. At the time, you still have Robert Woods and Cooper Kupp. And I think not that this should have stopped them from doing anything. They had Van Jefferson, who they drafted the year before. They just signed DeSean Jackson. He was the only free agent they signed that year. It was just like, what the fuck are we doing? Like, and still, even as he's like developing a little bit, like that pick still stands out as just so goddamn stupid and just like nonsensical. And I think like when you look at like the Jared First pick or the Cam Kitchens pick, like if those players don't work out, they still feel like sound decisions. And the Corum and Fisk picks are, you know, those guys need to really work out to justify those picks based on what you didn't get with Corum and based on what you gave up for Fisk. But overall, I think this is a good class. I don't think I'm as elated about it as I was coming out of last year's with what they did there, but I feel good. I feel really good. I think we're going to take a lot of steps forward with this draft class.
So, Steve, I got to ask, who was your favorite pick out of all of these? This is probably a stupid question.
My second favorite pick after Joshua Cardi. It's got to be the Jared First pick, man. They just didn't fuck it up. They made the right pick. I like the first pick and the Cam Kitchens pick. Yeah, it's just, it's not an inspiring choice, but like, we fucked up that pick plenty of times, and we didn't do it this day. Hopefully, time will tell. But like, I'll stand by it. If he doesn't pan out, it was the correct pick.
It really was, and you know, I'll agree with you, Steve. Just to kind of keep it short here, Jared Verse was my favorite pick, obviously. And one thing I will say though is that every year, it seems like the Rams, their top choice, their top pick, is never really my favorite pick. And it's because they tend to make better decisions later on. This year, they kind of changed that. And not that Cam Kitchens isn't a great pick also. This could end up being the best pick of the draft for the Rams. Overall, it's hard to not like the Jared Verse pick. It was such a great pick. Such great value, and it makes me that much more excited for the 2024 season.
Yeah, it feels like they've learned their lesson from the Cam Akers, Van Jefferson, Tutu Atwell, 3 second-round picks in 2 years phase. Like, it does feel like they've evolved, and at some point, Les Snead must have been like, buddy, we gotta fucking relax. Like, we gotta address positions we actually need on the defensive side of the ball. So I'm happy. I'm excited to talk about it in the coming weeks, too. All right, guys. Well, follow us on Twitter at C. Rivera, at Johnny596, at Talk Rams, and be on the lookout for more podcasts coming soon. That's it.